With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, 3 years ago, Ireland's on the verge of following the UK by bringing in calorie labels on menus aiming to encourage healthy eating. But now a survey of 10,000 people shows that these labels have only decreased the intake of calories by the equivalent of 2 almonds. And is there any benefit from focusing on calories anyway? Well, registered dietitian Sarah Keogh is back in with me now again to talk about this. Sarah, you're very welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
To have you. Sarah, what is your own opinion on calorie labels on menus?
I have a really, really mixed opinion on this.
Okay.
Because having worked for a dietitian for 30 years, I see people who genuinely don't know about calories in foods and don't really know about, you know, the amount of calories that can be in what they're eating. And on the other hand, I've sat with a lot of people with eating disorders, a lot of people with food guilt. And, you know, you're kind of torn between a little bit of information can be very helpful.
Yeah.
On the other side, you know, can someone just go out and eat? And that we're not having a guilt or we're not having a thing with it. So I can see from an overall population point of view where it possibly could be helpful, but on an individual level, I just have concerns about it.
I know, and we'll get into that now as well, because there is so much to dissect in this. It's not as simple of like, and there could be some people being like, wouldn't bother me either way.
Well, that's it. And there plenty of people don't care one way or the other, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, you know? And it's a great way to live. What about, let's say, like putting them on online takeaway menus so people can see, and I put this in quotation marks, of like which treats are less healthy than others.
Do you know what I'm going to say? We have some really good research looking at what people do and don't know about healthy eating. And while people might know deep down all about calories to the extent maybe I might, people know when they're not eating healthy food.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone actually orders a takeaway going, this is the big healthy option that I'm going for. You know, if you're going out for your deep fried fish and chips, no one is under the illusion that this is health food. It's gorgeous and it's tasty. So, do you know, could we put it there? Is it an information thing? I think possibly. I do think people don't get in terms of calories. And the one that would always stand out for me would be, you know, if you make a shepherd's pie for yourself at home, it's probably going to come in around 400 calories.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a shepherd's pie in a restaurant, and I've had them, you can have 1200 calories in the shepherd's pie. And in your head, you're having, well, I'm just having shepherd's pie.
Yeah.
But it can, just with the restaurants, they do gorgeous things with butter and cream and cheese, and it's gorgeous and it's tasty and it's really high in calories. And, you know, and it does vary. So I think the information can be useful, but I think with takeaways, it's the same sort of idea. We kind of know what's in there with it.
And yeah, as you said, like you're ordering a takeaway because you're having like a treat or a lovely meal for yourself. And like you're allowed to do that as well and not feel the pang of guilt of it. You just mentioned there obviously about if you made a shepherd's pie at home and if you made a shepherd's pie in a restaurant. Like how difficult would it be to be very accurate on the calories in these dishes when we're going out for food?
So, I mean, that's a really, really good question, because I have a lot of colleagues and I run a food and nutrition consultancy. So I do menu analysis and recipe analysis as a part of my work. And it actually requires a good bit of training. And I lecture on nutrition and I actually spend 12 weeks, and each week I will do a bit on using the software correctly to analyse the recipes. There's a lot in it. Whereas I know when years ago this was first floated, I remember going into a restaurant and they had the fish and chips down as 300 calories. And I was like, no way, right? No way, like 1200 calories. And I had a really lovely conversation with the manager and I was like, where did you get that? Oh, we Googled it. And I was like, okay, that, you know, doesn't work. You know, if we're going to bring calories on menus, you've actually got to sit down and do it properly. So it is a huge issue that if it is going to come in, you know, you need people who know what they're doing, because they can be wildly out, and my experience has been they're wildly under what they are. So, you know, and I often think it's funny because when people say, would you not put calories on menus, you'd make a fortune in your business, because that's literally what you do.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know I'm shooting myself in the foot a little bit by going, I'm a bit hesitant about it.
Yeah.
But it is, it's quite a skilled thing to do properly, which most people miss in terms of how you actually do it.
I mentioned at the very beginning there of like, you know, calories on menus mightn't bother a lot of people at all. They might even be listening to this and being like, I don't understand what the big hype is. But for some people with eating disorders, like, you know, calorie counting is honestly the last thing they need. Why is that?
Well, I think sometimes if someone is struggling with an eating disorder, and there's so many aspects to it, you know, I've worked with lots of people, and one of the big things is getting them to go out and eat in restaurants and be comfortable with it, and to try and actually look at it as the experience of the food and the social side of it. Calories on menus, I will say I've had some patients who like it, because they said, well, actually, now I know what's in it. So I'm very comfortable eating it because it's there. And then I have others go, and it has just been triggering and I just can't walk into the restaurant because it's tipping me straight back into the calorie side of it. So, you know, and I think you're right. Some people, it doesn't bother them at all, and totally fine with that, you know. And I put a post up on Instagram there at Sarah Keogh RD, and I was just asking people for comments and what they thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, about calories on me, and it's so mixed. Like there's people 100% yes, and people are like, no, definitely not. And then other people are like, well, maybe in between. And I think one of the comments I saw was saying, well, I hope people don't choose, you know, a less healthy option, because the healthy option actually is higher in calories. Yeah. And we have this perception that if something is high calorie, that it's automatically unhealthy, yeah. you know, and that's not always the case.
Yeah, you can text in any questions actually you have for Sarah, because she's going to be with us for the next couple of minutes. She's a registered dietitian. You can WhatsApp us on 087-187-9200 or text us on 51552. Mentioning that, like, I myself, I know when like calories have come into menus, like, first I've suffered, I've spoken quite openly about this, about, you know, disordered eating throughout my entire life. It was just, I grew up in the noughties. It was kind of what was thrown at me. But I struggled for a long time walking into restaurants, and I'd look at the higher calorie count and then the lowest calorie count, and I would go for the lowest calorie count even though I wouldn't actually like what the food was. Mm. And then it took me so long to realise that I was overcompensating them, because that never filled a void for me. I'd eat it because it was lower calories, and then I would end up binging later on different food because I wasn't satisfied.
Well, that's, you actually have to eat enough to stop being hungry. And, yeah. You know, I was saying to you earlier, I was working with a company years ago, and we were developing kind of healthy menus and products, and one of them was, I wanted to do healthy salads, but that had a good calories in them, 400 or 500 calories, and they're like, no, because salads have to be really low. And I was like, no, salads have to be a meal. Like, let's get the veg in, it's brilliant, but let's put a bit of protein in, let's put a bit of flavor in. People shouldn't be starving after they've had this really incredibly nutritious meal that's high in fiber and packed with protein, all of those things. So I think sometimes when we just look at calories, people forget that there's a whole lot more to nutrition than just that.
It's a lot of fuel. You have to actually fuel to live yourself. What is the difference as well? Because I mentioned it there, the difference between an eating disorder and disordered eating.
So eating disorder is where someone is kind of, to a certain extent, diagnosed with a specific disorder that's very impacting on, impacting on their health or mental health. And it'll often be sort of a specific named in terms of anorexia nervosa or binge eating disorder. With disordered eating, they mightn't have come to the point where it's, you know, seriously impacting on their life and so on, but they have this anxiety, this pressure about food, this, you know, can I eat this, can I not eat that? Or the thing that I see is a lot, well, I'm really bad because I ate that.
Yeah.
Or I was good yesterday, or I was bad. And you're like, you're not bad.
You didn't go out
and, like, I don't know, run over a dog or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you ate a bar of chocolate. And I think it's that where we have this constant voice. As you said, you grew up in the 90s, you know, me the same. It's this constant, was there calories and how thin people were and all, you know, all of this. And it's that where your eating isn't comfortable. You're not just happy in your own skin in terms of what you're eating with your food.
Why is it incredibly important to take the fear and the guilt away from food?
Because we have to eat.
Yeah.
Like, we have to eat. It's not even like giving up cigarettes. You can give up cigarettes. That's fine. But we have to eat. And, you know, we actually make nearly 300 decisions about food every day.
What?
We really
Sorry, I'm really just thinking that through in my head. I'm like,
well, what am I eating? What am I putting on my plate? What am I flavouring it with? How am I cooking that? Did I go shopping? What am I planning for tomorrow? You know, and, you know, all of those things, they feed in. And if we start piling in a whole load of guilt and all the rest in on top of that, and, you know, I mean, I do a lot of work in terms of going in and doing education on nutrition in workplaces. And I love when people come back to me and go, you just made that easy and you made it straightforward, because it doesn't have to be complicated and we don't have to count calories. How you balance out your plate is really very simple. And, you know, particularly, you know, calories tends to come down to weight a lot. And, you know, my mantra is always, you know, if you get the nutrition right, the weight generally follows.
Yeah.
You know, so don't think about losing weight. Think about, well, am I actually eating enough fruit and veg? Well, let's get my 5 a day and let's work on that. Am I getting enough fibre in? Let's work on that. And bit by bit, by just actually, and this is the focus, adding in the nutrition.
Yeah.
You'll often find calories naturally come down a little bit, you know, weight naturally comes down a little bit. And it's really just about, I always think, let's add in rather than take out.
Yeah, I kind of feel the way I've kind of looked at it is your body is kind of like a stove, and you have to stay fueling that stove for it to burn. And then when you're fueling it with like all the proper ingredients of like whatever your like coal or your turf and everything is, which is your food, then like you naturally burn and you feel better and it looks better. We have a good few texts coming in here now, Sarah. Got a text here that says, what advice do you give for someone who feels guilty about eating out, Karumi and Wagos? Like, that's kind of what you described there of,
it is. And I think it's to figure out, what is it that's making you feel guilty? Like, are you actually doing something bad? Mm. And this is what I say about food guilt. You're just eating.
Yeah.
Right? You're not hurting anybody. You're not doing anything. And I think it's to come back and give yourself permission to eat, because I think particularly messaging, and, you know, it was always very much targeted at women. Sadly, we're now starting to see a target, particularly at younger guys. This idea that you have to justify your eating, or you have to burn off your calories. You are allowed just to go out and eat. Like, Pancake Tuesday was this week. And it was, I love that. We had no dinner in my house on Pancake Tuesday. We had pancakes and then we had more pancakes and then we had rashers and pancakes, and you know what I mean, like, it was just, you have to actually just eat the food. And I think we have to also stop tying up all of our worth into our weight, or even into what we look like, you know. It's okay to eat. And I think the go back and go, what is it that is making you feel bad about eating out? Do you end up overeating? Because sometimes people are like, well, I'm going out for dinner, I'm going to eat all these calories anyway. I might as well just really go for it. I'm going to start. I'm going to have a main course. I'm going to have dessert. And you come home feeling sick because you've had too much food. So maybe it's just, so, well, I'm allowed to go out and have the main course that I want and eat it and just see how you feel. You know, and sometimes come back and go, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'd often say, think about dessert when you eat out, is when you finish your main meal, don't even look at the dessert menu for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And often you'll find you're just naturally comfortably full rather than automatically. Now, if dessert is your reason for living,
then go.
Have your dessert. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Have your cake.
God, you have to live. And I think it's just looking at that balanced nutrition. And I'd say for eating out, for me, well, obviously I'm a dietitian, so I'm going to be boring in this respect. I'm looking for the veg. Where's a bit of fibre in here? Where's a bit of flavour? And I think restaurants have really come on board with that in recent years. You know, the Irish thing was always, you know, you have meat, potatoes and a bit of veg. And, you know, there's a lot more leaning into it now. But I think it's, think about why you might be feeling guilty. What is it you think you've actually done wrong? Mm-hmm. And you're going to find you have done nothing wrong. Just leave it.
Yeah, and just remind yourself of that. That kind of answers our next question as well, because you mentioned as well that we have to stop thinking that we need to burn off everything because we actually just need food to live. It's like if you're training a couple of times a week, how do you know how much your calories go up by? Is it just that if you're a little bit more hungry? Yeah, just eat a little bit more.
70% of the calories you eat goes into breathing, beating your heart, digesting your food, operating your brain, right?
So what?
30% of the calories you eat is your activity. So honestly, by sitting on your rear end watching TV, you are burning 70% of your calories every day.
There we go. Thoughts on ultra processed food. Is that what we should be looking at rather than the calories? It's hard to know what's good and what's healthy for you. We had talked about this in the past with Orla, and it was like that as well. It's like, actually, if you just look at more whole foods instead of ultra processed, was her advice. Yeah,
nothing has changed. Ultra processed food is this year's big scary name for big piles of treat food, or what might have been called junk food. So yes, biscuits, cakes, pastries, really processed to death foods. Guess what? Still not good for us. Okay. Yeah. So I would be less worried about analysing labels to death and more looking at your fresh foods. Like if you're going for your fresh fruit and veg, brilliant. If you're kind of going for your fresh meat, chicken, fish, you're, you know, cooking it as much as you can yourself. It's really, some people are just time poor. They really are. And you're looking at, well, maybe, you know, what about the breaded chicken? And there's breaded chicken and breaded chicken. You know, that's a quick read through the ingredient list. You're going like, what do I know there? They're kind of things to look at. But if you lean into most of what you're eating is that, you know, half of your plate is your fruit and veg for your dinner, quarter of it's going to be your protein. The other quarter is some sort of high fiber, whole grain carbs. Mm-hmm. If there's some ultra processed foods coming in there with it, it's not going to do any harm.
I know that we just spoke about ultra processed food and that being kind of like a buzzword of like new thing. Another thing is like protein, because everyone is absolutely obsessed with having to get enough protein into their lives. I get it. But a text in here that says, I eat a lot of protein yogurt, particularly the flavour varieties. I'm hearing lately that these are more unhealthy than marketed. What is Sarah's opinion on this?
They're totally fine. There's yogurts and yogurts and yogurts. It's like anything. So there's nothing wrong with protein yogurt. So there's two kinds of protein yogurts. You have ones that are where the... there's less liquid in it, so they're naturally higher in protein without any protein actually being added.
Okay.
So they will be high protein. And then you have the protein yogurts where they've added extra protein to them. But most of them, what they're adding in terms of protein is just whey powder. And whey powder comes from milk anyway.
Yeah.
So it depends on what else they're doing with that. But I have looked at most of them. I wouldn't have a hesitation kind of about them with that. I think every time something half good comes along, 60 people come along to go, oh, no, you're doing that wrong now. You know?
No, absolutely not.
I think sometimes you have to limit who you're asking about nutrition advice. Because I say this when I'm doing talks. People ask me all these questions and like, you know, you'll go to a physiotherapist, you'll go to a solicitor for advice. When it comes to nutrition, you will take advice from any random person walking down the street, any random person on the internet. Would you just go and talk to a dietitian? Like, if you actually are feeling bad and you don't know what to do, go and see a dietitian. We're out there, we exist, you know. You can book an appointment. You know, I don't do clinics, but I know Orla Walsh and Avian Bannon do them. Like, there's loads of fantastic dietitians out there you can go and see. Just one session, you're sorted, you'll be grand. And actually, stop worrying about it.
Ask all your questions. We might actually have to get you back in again sometime soon to do something on like protein and stuff, because, you know, people do get so confused and they get so consumed by it. But just back to the calorie labels for a second as well, because the numbers that they show on the calorie labels menu, they think that they're not actually working. And we did say at the very beginning of this that like it's proven that people have dropped two almonds in that case. Like, what changes would you like to see that might make that work a little bit better?
So I think when we say drop two almonds, that would be over the whole of the population.
Okay.
But within that, you would have had some people would have eaten fewer calories than others. So we do see an impact in it. But I'd love to talk about a thing that was done in 2019 where in the London Underground, they banned junk food advertising completely. The research now has come out from one of the universities, analysed changes in behaviour based on the lack of advertising, and they believe that they have saved 100,000 people across London from obesity. They estimate that over the lifetime of the project, it is going to save the NHS 283 million. So the advertising is a huge thing, and I know organisations in Ireland like the Irish Heart Foundation and so on really look at how we're advertising, and mm-hmm. I know Safe Food are doing a huge thing on that whole food environment, which is a huge thing. So I think, you know, calories on menus can be part of that food environment, yep. but I think what we're looking at in supermarkets, what's advertised on television, what's advertised to children, I think that whole marketing side, I think, because marketing works.
Yeah.
You know, marketing nobody works. Spends money on marketing if it doesn't work. Because if it doesn't work, they stop and they do something else. So when we actually get those kind of restrictions on advertising, and there's huge pushback with it. I remember mm-hmm. talking to one of the dietitians who was heavily involved in the London Underground, kind of that project. And she said, you would not believe the lobbying and pushback that came when we were trying to do it. Why? Because they knew money. It was going to result in reduced sales.
Yeah.
So, you know, it works when we actually take that advertising out. I would love to see more support for that. I think it's growing in Ireland for it. I think we're recognising the need for it, but I would love to see more of it.
I think at the core of it all, like, we can talk about calories on menus and we can talk about advertisement for junk foods, but like, we just really need to mend our relationship with food. And it's been a battleground for generations now of, you know, of different diets that have come and done. And it's trying to break out of that and go, okay, hang on, we do have to eat healthy. You do need to get your fruit and veg
in. Get your nutrition in.
And you need to try and get your whole foods, but you shouldn't not have a treat, and you shouldn't Absolutely. Be like living your life thinking about what you're going to eat next and if what you're going to put in your mouth is good versus bad, which it should never be labeled as anyway. Overall, what advice would you give to someone who is keen to have a more balanced diet, is a visit a dietitian like yourself?
But, you know, I would, as a jumping off point, you don't have to like go to therapy with the dietitian for 3 years or anything. Like, you could just pop in and just, and because people often say to me, what if I'm not eating enough calcium? Well, actually go and see a diet, because they'll very quickly be able to tell you.
Yeah.
And also give you advice on how to fit that in with different things with that. So I'd actually say, you know, if you've time and energy, and like a lot of health insurance will cover you.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, great.
But make sure it is a dietitian, because we have lots of people in the arena talking about nutrition, and qualifications vary enormously with that. So I would say to you, dietitians are actually on a register, coru.ie. You can go on to it, coru.ie. It's the register for healthcare professionals in Ireland. You can go on to the dietitian's register, you can put someone's name in. Are they qualified? Brilliant. There's also some really well-qualified nutritionists out there, but make sure it's from a university you've heard of.
Okay.
Like UCD or University College Cork. Like, I know that university, I know that's a good nutrition degree. So they're kind of where I'd look, because loads of people pop up with all kinds of qualifications. No, they mixed. It's not that they're all terrible or anything. I don't mean that at all. But it's more just to say, look, if I'm going to get advice, let's cut down on the noise. Let's go to the people who actually aren't doing the crazy stuff, and they're not kind of scary, and they're, you know, all of that sort of stuff with it. Let's just get some sensible advice. And you know what? You already know what to eat.
Yeah. I loved every single second of this, Sarah. Thank you so much for that. You covered so much. That was registered dietitian Sarah Keogh back in with us again, and we'll be right back after these.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.